dirty old river must you keep rolling, flowing into the night. People so busy make me feel dizzy. Taxi light shines so bright, but I don't.
Modcast X, where we are harkening back to the 60s, that British vibe, that whole thing that we don't understand, which actually is why we just wound up picking two comics with the character the Mad Mod in it, because we figured he had Mod in his name, so for Modcast X, okay, we'll just go with these. I'm Trenchcoat Mafia.
And I'm MC Trekkie.
And here we have Teen Titans Volume 117, and this cover is ridiculous.
Yo, man, first of all, when we talked about doing a modcast, I'm all for the play on words, but you're telling me you couldn't find any better comics than these two?
I did find one that was worse. There was an issue of Showcase that had this, like, monkeys-type ripoff band called The Maniacs, with a K.
Mm-hmm.
And God, I don't think I got past page 2.
All right, okay. If you can't get page 2, then
you,
I can't.
Yeah, there's no way.
All right. This is an interesting cover. We see a character that's the return of Mad Mod, so it looks like we've seen him before.
Well, I question that. I actually think this is the first appearance of the Mad Mod. I could be wrong, because on the cover it says the return of the Mad Mod. And in the comic, they react to him as though they've seen him before. And yet, I could have sworn I saw somewhere online that this is his first appearance. So they could just be, like, fucking with the readers, since the readers of this comic at this time would have been so young, they wouldn't know.
Right, and it's a trippy comic anyway. I mean, look at him.
Yeah, we have, like, a giant spectral dude with, like,
Harlequin jacket. There's an ascot thing going on.
Yeah, and he's got, like, you know, the Beatles haircut, you know, late 60s style.
I like that he's got the Teen Titans in the palm of his hand, which, you know, I don't like the Teen Titans. I don't like teen anything. So, yeah, this is great.
Look at him smiling. Wait. But he has Robin, and you liked it, Grayson.
Where's Robin?
Robin's there. See, he's sticking out the bottom of his fist.
Is he the one upside down?
He's upside down, yeah. So I figure that would upset you, since you're such a fan of all Bat-related characters.
I do, but clearly Robin is trying to use his super trapeze skills.
Well, you would think he'd be using his bat balls against them, but no.
No, that's Nightwing that uses bat balls.
Nightwing is Dick Grayson.
Yeah, but this is years earlier.
Well, yes, it is. And, okay, right away, you know this is going to be a really silly comic from the first page.
Phew, horrible.
Yeah, well, I like the art because it's crude in a pleasant way. Like, you know, it's not too detailed, and I hate to use, like, this word in any context, but it's nice. This is nice art. I feel it's appropriate for a comic that's aimed at younger readers, put it that way.
It's pleasant, and if you look at the guy in the beef eater outfit or whatever the hell that is, the court guy holding the pillow, I mean, he looks good and surprised when something happens. I have a question, though.
Okay, go
so
ahead.
We have Kid Flash, is that right?
Kid Flash, well,
good for
West.
Me.
Yeah.
All right, and that's Aqua Lad there.
Yes.
Okay, and who's the little
Wonder Girl?
Wonder
yeah, that's
Girl.
The original Wonder Girl, Donna Troy, and this is also her original costume that sort of looks like she's wearing a potato sack. They gave her a sexier costume shortly after this, actually, because this one's pretty lame.
Now, is she strong like Wonder Woman? Can she do all the Wonder Woman type stuff?
Yeah.
Does she have a magic lasso?
You know, I'm not sure. Let me cheat and look ahead. Because I know that she has a magic lasso, like, years later. But looking ahead, no. Back here in whatever year this was published, she doesn't. And this would be 1968.
Whoa.
Yeah, this is going way to the back of the long box.
Whoa. It's pretty good quality for whoever scanned it. Thank you. Thank you, Wes, DCP, or whoever.
Well, you see, usually they give themselves credit, but I don't see scanning credit here.
Thanks. Props to whoever scanned. It's a nice job. I was going to ask you about the...
I mean, yes, we went to our local comic book store into the back issue bins and paid a huge price for this, because we would never illegally download comics.
I think you gave it away 2 issues ago, so I wouldn't worry too much about it.
Damn.
But I was asking you about the magic lasso for a reason, which I will hold and let you know later.
Yeah, she does get a lasso, like, much later on.
Okay.
Yeah. And I guess they're in England because here they are standing in a line and they're singing God Save Our Gracious Queen, so you assume they're in England. And yeah, here you have the dude in the beefeater outfit. He's got a scepter on a cushion, which just like flies away from him into the hands of the Mad Mod. And you know it's the Mad Mod because Wonder Girl cries out, "Holy thimbles! It's the Mad Mod!"
It's funny because that would be a Robin thing to say, like a holy whatever.
Well, clearly Robin has been a bad influence on her.
Especially since this was the same time the Batman TV show was running, and he was saying holy everything.
And what were they thinking? I mean, look at the Mad Mod. Much like Mr. Fish, what were they thinking creating this guy?
Well, they knew that there'd be a podcast 40 years later, and then we had to give it some kind of a...
Actually, that would be the only... The explanation. Hey, by the way, I know you have problems with Wonder Woman flying because you grew up on the TV show where she didn't fly. I want to point out here that Wonder Girl has Wonder Woman's powers because here she is flying.
Okay, that's where I was going.
Yeah. And, well, whoosh with four O's. That's quite the sound effect there.
Well, he's going all the way up the stairs with it.
Yeah, Kid Flash just like...
one O per stair.
Sorry?
See, as he's going up the steps, it's one O per like little stair. Every time he takes a step, that's another O. Look at him go. But he still gets hit over the head.
Yeah, because he's a doofus.
Well, how can you be as fast as the speed of light and still... Never mind.
Well, that's the problem with the Flash. If you really think about it, any character with super speed would be able to take out any villain without even thinking about it. I got nothing, because that's actually a valid point.
That's why all the Flashes seem stupid, to maybe compensate for their power.
Well... Except for Barry Allen. He was like the one intelligent Flash. Because, yeah, as you see here, Wally's kind of dopey.
Yeah.
And, man, the Mad Mod's dialogue, though, I have to say, is pretty entertaining.
Yeah, I like that they did. He kind of had a Cockney. He has some kind of Cockney accent there. Yoicks! Me lovely cape!
Oh, no. Me loverly cape.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. You shredded its threads, you interfering female. But this is even better over here. Aye, me duckies, it's your old friend, and now you've seen the living last of me and the ruddy scepter. Cheerio!
Ugh.
This comic would actually be better if the Mad Mod talked more, because his dialogue is pretty much the only entertaining thing about this entire comic.
Yeah, this comic should have come with something like a little...
Did you notice that Wonder Girl has heels? How the fuck does she run in those things?
I'm not sure if that...
It looks like she has heels here.
Yeah, now you know why I was asking about the rope. Okay.
So you're saying you would like to tie up Donna Troy and have your way with her?
No, I wanted to know, okay, now since you keep bringing it back up, everybody wants to know whether Batman and Robin are, have a little thing going on.
They do. I mean, come on.
Now, if you were Donna Troy and you had the magic lasso and the magic lasso compels your victim to tell the truth, wouldn't you like, somewhere in the middle of the night sneak in, wrap Dick Grayson, rope him up?
Well, you're forgetting that Amazons are into chicks.
See, here's the cool thing, is that it's a win-win. Because she gets her answer with the butt. If he says, no, I'm not gay, then he's already tied up. See what I'm saying?
Well, again, since she's like an Amazon of some kind, being Wonder Girl, do you really think she's into guys?
I didn't think they had lesbianism in the 60s. I didn't think it was such a thing as a lesbian until like...
You know what would be cool? 60s lesbianism would be like Julie Newmar, Catwoman, and Mrs. Peel making out with each other.
That goes in the category of almost too much of a good thing. That is right on the line. That's like putting strawberries and cherries on a sundae. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I would do that, though.
I would do it and then regret it later.
You're very American.
Well, speaking of the Mad Mod, and we weren't...
Yeah, he pops Wonder Girl in the head with the scepter that he just stole.
He pops her, but it says bop.
Okay, well then he bops her. You would think bopping Wonder Girl would mean something else entirely.
What's really funny is we see Wally West still fucking around on the stairway.
Yeah, he actually falls down the steps. He's such a doofus.
Right, holy Hannah. Oh, I'm sorry, no, it's Merciful.
Now, wait. We have three characters here who all have superpowers.
Except for Aqualad.
No, Aqualad has superpowers.
What can he do on the land?
On land, not much. That's why it's stupid that he's in the Teen Titans and eventually they would remove him from the team.
Well, what's funny is he's really powerful if anyone happens to have an aquarium in their house. Otherwise, they're pretty much screwed.
Well, maybe the Mad Mod keeps some, like, piranha in a tank, and Aqualad could command the piranha to turn on him and attack him when he goes to feed him.
Right.
But that's about all he could do. What's Aqualad? He sucks. Aquaman sucks. Aqualad sucks. I mean, please, horrible characters.
Well, then we'll have to do, sometime down the road, we'll have to do something related to those guys.
Yeah. Just as an excuse to pick on Aquaman. And yeah, he bops her in the head with the scepter that he stole, calling the scepter a queen-sized curling iron. And I don't believe you laughed at that.
That's funny.
Wow. You know what's good here is that even though Wonder Girl is wearing like this loose potato sack looking top, the cartoonist here does still lovingly delineate the shape of her breast here.
Yeah, she's doing all right.
And she's pretty well built for a kid.
Listen. I had her in bed with Dick Grayson, so, you know, I went there way earlier than you did.
And here you go again with the Amazons that she's crying out, Merciful Minerva.
Right.
You know, this Minerva character these Amazons worship can't be too merciful because she's already always letting her superpowered subjects get beaten up.
And then later,
I don't believe the Mad Mod took out 3 people with superpowers. I can't get around this.
Well, he's got a magical scepter.
Oh, so here's Wally. The mods crowned us onto our lownesses? Is that a play on words for highness?
Yeah.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah. Well, they're at a reception for the queen.
Well, this was written by Bob Haney, who is a really, I guess the word would be idiosyncratic writer. His writing is always very strange. I don't know how else to describe it. He's got his own style, and it is what it is. And what was always weird about these old Teen Titans that he would write is, you know, here was an old guy, and he's trying to have these teenagers talk like teenagers. Instead, they talk like an old man's idea of what teenagers would be talking like in 1968.
Was he famous for anything, or was this the high point of his work?
No, I would say his high point, so to speak, because again, he's a really idiosyncratic writer, would be his run on Brave and the Bold Batman team-up comic.
Okay.
Where he would just have, again, weird writer, he would have Batman team up with anybody. I mean, he teamed Batman up with Commandy, Last Boy on Earth.
I don't know how that's possible.
It's Bob Haney.
Okay.
Yeah. And, they were wondering where Robin was, and here they are later, and Robin just happens to have shown up with no comment as to what he's been up to. So I can only assume, like, you know, Batman was really horny and he had to go take care of Bruce Wayne.
You don't know about that until the lasso. So, you know, we don't know if he's gay or not.
He's wearing skin-tight, green, fish-scaly, swim trunk brief things.
Well,
you know, that outfit he always wears.
Well, then Aqualad's gay, too.
Well, Aqualad has an excuse because, you know, he's always swimming around and stuff, so he would need some freedom of movement.
Oh, keep talking. You're just making it worse.
I actually do assume that Batman is fucking Robin, but I can't picture Aquaman fucking Aqualad. Although maybe Aquaman is just into the other sea creatures. I don't know. They do whatever he tells them to do, after all. Just saying. You know, and like a dolphin shows up, and Aquaman's like, "Hey, baby."
No, I know why they call it a suckerfish.
Aquaman would be all like, "Bring that blowhole right here." Yeah, right there, baby.
Blowhole, like a whale.
Dolphins don't have blowholes. Don't dolphins have holes in their heads?
Oh, the dolphins.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. I was going for something bigger. I assume.
No. Aquaman would only like be with a whale if he wanted to be dominated.
Well, I assume Aquaman, isn't he the king of the seven seas?
Well, yeah, well, that's why he would need that, because, you know, it's like these rich Republican businessmen who, like, patronize these dominatrices because, like, in their private lives, they want to be told what to do and shit. That's why Aquaman would summon up a whale every once in a while. You know, all the stress of being the king of Atlantis would get to him, and he would just want to be, like, the whale's bitch for a while. And here are the Teen Titans being given clean costumes, because I can't believe they actually, I guess they would, like, go to a dry cleaner or something. I can't picture, like, the Teen Titans hanging out in a laundromat and just watching their costumes go around to the machine. So, okay, I'll buy this.
Sure.
And here we have Robin has been trapped in the... I gotta say something for these old stories. They do move along. They don't waste any time with soap opera stuff or
Robin,
anything.
Robin came all of a sudden for some unknown reason. They were able to...
Yeah, he's locked in the Tower of London now, where frankly he belongs because he's a Batman-related character. And society is better off without him. Okay, and I suppose they figured out...
There goes that malicious raiment maker. Now, who even knows that term?
Look on the side of his van here. The Ungrotti Grotto Boutique Groovy Garb. Mod Proprietor.
Right. Well, that's the raiment
maker. He's making it really easy for the Teen Titans to pursue him by putting that on the side of his truck here.
Right. Well, he doesn't, come on. He's super villain.
Well, look at this. The Flash is making bad wordplay all over the place here. A stitch of the old super speed and I'll slit his seams.
Oh, that's horrible.
And yet you laughed. So was it really horrible? Is it so bad that it's good? Or is it just bad?
It's horrible when you say it out loud. And you realize, it's the Flash. How big, first of all, it's a van. Second of all, it's a van from Britain. And they can only go 20 miles an hour over there. So, come on, Flash. What the hell?
What do you have against Britain?
Nothing,
Britain gave a, speaking of them, appeal. Come on.
It's just a whole bunch of underpowered engines, that's all. But yeah, 20 miles an hour and Flash can't catch up with them.
Oh, this is good. The narrator is talking at Kid Flash. Oh, you pulled a gaff. He's talking at the Mad Mod. Oh, you pulled a gaff this time, Mod.
See, lumbering lorry.
No lumbering lorry can outdistance the flashing feet of blah, blah, blah.
And then he calls
him, that's not even as good as this, he calls him the Junior Wizard of Whiz.
Like Cheese Whiz?
I don't know, whizzes and piss?
Whizzes and speed, I guess, but that is funny.
Well, we know that, but that's really bad.
But wait, he's not gaining in engines. As a matter of fact, he's falling behind.
Yeah, something's wrong with him, and because this is a comic written for young readers, it's because they all of a sudden have these new clean costumes, and the Mad Mod is apparently a tailor of some sort, that obviously these costumes are somehow, making their powers cut out and not be as powerful as they usually are.
No, I didn't get that at first. I thought maybe it was because...
Look, he's got the sweat beads coming off him. He's exhausted from running so much here.
I got that, but I wasn't sure if it was because maybe Dick Grayson was locked up in the tower.
Okay, I have to ask, because I know you didn't finish Power Man. How many pages of this were you able to read?
No, I got this one. Okay. I read this one.
Oh, you read this? Wow.
Yeah.
You were... Okay, because this one's pretty bad, too.
This is god awful, but for some reason...
Whew.
Yeah, I got my second wind.
So the Kid Flash gets on a motorcycle here, since he's having trouble running at super speed. This is wrong. This is a cheap shot. This is a cheap shot here. Because the Flash is on his motorcycle, and all of a sudden, there's so much fog, because of course it's England, that he just drives right into a haystack.
Yeah, well, there's haystacks all over the place in England. Didn't you know that?
Well, there wasn't fog a panel ago, and now there's so much fog that he can't see where he's going that he drives into a haystack. Well, because, hey, it's England. And, of course, England is always foggy.
Right. Well, that leads to the next thought balloon, that fog's no friend. Whew. Now I can't spot the Mod either.
Well, apparently the Mod... This is cool. You never see villains hanging out in a bar.
Yeah, it's called the Chalky...
The Chalk Charger?
The Chalk Charger.
Yeah, and Kid Flash is being helpful by telling us what's going on inside. The Mod and his minions. Oh, well, okay, and sure enough. Hey, here's the Mod talking in an entertaining manner, as he is wont to do. I me duckies, the greatest stitch in British history. Not history, history. Yeah, I like how he laughs, too. Arr.
Oh, like a pirate.
Pirates are cool, by the way.
Pirates are very cool.
It would be cool if, some pirates came in here and, tore some shit up and turned this into a good comic.
You know what's cracking me up is you say this guy's name, Bob Haney.
Bob Haney.
You know what I'm thinking?
Go ahead.
I'm thinking that this is a really big, blown-up version of a comic that I got when I opened up my bazooka. I'm having that vibe. I'm having that sense, that corny...
It is written on about the same level.
This corny, cheesy, ridiculous...
Well, you know what, though? The Bazooka Joes aren't as quotable as this. This has... some of the dialogue in this is so incredibly bad.
Sure.
That, you read it out loud, and like you said, all of a sudden it's both funny and, yeah.
You know, it's...
Mod, you're the tip-top most.
No.
I mean, hoo boy. And those blinkin' titans thought they could stop the old mod? Yeah. Yeah. Here, actually, the Kid Flash somehow does recover the stolen scepter, and he's all happy. You know, you don't see... See how he's all happy here? He's smiling. You don't see happy, smiling heroes anymore.
Well, what do they have to smile about?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just noticing this, looking at this old comic. Like, even Batman used to smile. But now everybody's so grim. Like, even the so-called comedic heroes, like She-Hulk, whose book is totally goofy. Like, she never smiles or laughs.
Well, I mean, he's smiling. He has yet to discover that, you know, young Wonder Woman girl is gay. And won't give him the time of...
I also wonder, because his hair is brown here, and eventually they made him into a redhead. I wonder, like, when and why that happened. Okay, now he gets bopped over the head by the Mad Mod, who has no powers, as opposed to Kid Flash, who should be unbeatable.
Well, Kid Flash, the suit is slowing him down.
I know, but
you already explained that.
You know what? Again, the Mad Mod has no powers whatsoever. Even slow down super speed is super speed.
No, he's got no super speed. None. He's got zero super speed. But he does have Mad Mod's scepter, and you'd think he could use that in some way.
Well, the Mad Mod gets the scepter back, and, you know, actually looking at this scepter, I can imagine Batman would find a use for it. But we won't get into that. Okay.
Wait. Let me get this straight.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so here's a thought balloon. He's just been cracked on the head by the Mad Mod. So here's Kid Flash basically saying, ooh, what a belt. Too tired to follow him. Got to contact Wonder Chick and Gilhead on the Titan Wrist Radio.
Wait. Wonder Chick?
Wonder Chick.
Actually? Now see, they were onto something here. Wonder Chick is a better name than Wonder Girl, and Gilhead is a way better name than Aqualad. Well, they should have gone with these names.
Dude, I'm not defending any Titans. You know me. I don't like the Titans. But
well, believe it or not, like much late, we were talking about Marv Wolfman editing that Luke Cage comic. You'll never believe this, but like in the 80s, Marv Wolfman took over the writing of the Teen Titans, and he actually turned it into one of the best books out there.
I'll be damned.
Yeah, really. I mean, go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, if he had a Titan Wrist Radio the whole time, never mind.
none of this makes any sense.
Flash to Titan Copper. Flash to Titan Copper.
Here's that ad that you...
down the bottom. Hey, kids, once again, no chicken kamikaze. And I have to describe it a little bit more. It's the same ad that I've described previously. It's that go sign up for Vietnam ad. You've never heard of a chicken kamikaze before. In fact, he had no chance for a quote-unquote change of mind. Once he was airborne, he was committed. He was locked into his plane, so he couldn't bail out.
So don't change your mind in registering for the draft, kids, because don't be a chicken. Go to Vietnam and die for your country.
Triggered bombs were bolted to his wings, so he couldn't land without blowing up. So why not be a hero in your zero? In other words, suicidal behavior in service to your country is heroic.
But on the other hand, looking at this ad for the model plane, you have to admit the zeros did look pretty cool.
They did look pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm an American soldier and I have to be blown up by something, I would actually prefer to be blown up by a zero, because at least like that cool plane would be the last thing I would see.
Yeah. I get nothing.
What's bad here is that, I don't know, in 1968, was $2 a lot to pay for a model plane?
Build it, and you can recreate history as you recreate a model. Come on, $2 to recreate history? That's great.
And
sponsored by the U.S. Army.
It may as well be. You know, Holy Thimbles once was bad enough, but they actually, here we are, chapter 2. He actually had the nerve to call this chapter, it says chapter 2, and the name of chapter 2 is Holy Thimbles, it's the Mad Mod.
Well, he's king off of what?
He was actually proud of that. Yeah. He thought that he thinks it makes a good title for a chapter.
Well, now he's just being ridiculous.
He is just being ridiculous. Look at this. Mumbling Mantas, Wonder Doll. Loch Ness, Aqualadio.
Loch Ness, Aqualadio.
Yeah, because here's Loch Ness.
Ah, well, we needed an excuse for Aqualad to like use his powers.
This is the problem with these characters, Aquaman and Aqualad, because they can't be out of the water for more than an hour. So if they're in like any kind of a team comic like the Titans or JLA, they have to find an excuse for there to be some kind of underwater action. It's a real flaw with these characters. I mean, it's just stupid.
Did they ever fix that? Not that I know of. I thought they fixed it.
No, in fact, Aquaman has like a fish tank on the moon where the Justice League has their base. And like, I guess...
Wait a minute.
Go ahead.
Aquaman has a fish tank on the moon?
Well, I'm calling it a fish tank. You know, a big tank of water that you can swim around in.
In the moon.
On the moon, in the watchtower. Which is gone now because it was blown up, but when they had the watchtower. Yeah. So he could stay alive, because if they're out of water for over an hour, Aqualad and Aquaman, they just die.
So a million years in the future, when archaeologists are scraping the moon, and they come across a fish tank.
Yeah, they're going to be real confused.
Half as confused as I am.
Well, it's stupid. It's just, Aquaman can be cool, but like mostly he's lame, like Aqualad's being lame right here. And look, sinister, sneaky, submerging subs.
Oh yeah.
It just doesn't stop.
This is just all...
Well, this is good here. I do like the Mad Mods dialogue. Yoinks, the fish boy.
I like that.
That could be a character.
He's got no
Yoinks
respect. Yoinks the fish boy. He's got no respect. Hello.
My name is Yoinks. Well, who are you, Yoinks? I am Yoinks the fish boy. I like that. That could work. And of course, you know, here he is in a net. That's how he defeats Aqualad. He defeats him by, like, he's in a fish net. Yeah. Okay, they call, what? A Titan copter. That's not even good. A Titan copter.
That's just silly.
Yeah, hear the Mad Mods laughing at him.
It's got him all strapped up. There's a lot of hidden.
If you know, just in case you didn't think this comic was silly enough, the Loch Ness Monster shows up.
Now I have a question.
Go ahead.
Can he talk telepathically to the Loch Ness Monster?
Yes. Yes, he can. Because here he is. Hey, somehow I'm communicating with that big buster. Like Aquaman does with his fish. Come closer, pal.
So, I have a question. Can Aqualad communicate with other fish? Because he says, like Aquaman communicates with fish. Not like I communicate with fish.
You know, that's an interesting point. Because Aqualad, later on, can communicate with fish.
But not at this point.
Maybe not.
Right.
So maybe not, because he seems amazed. This may be the point where he discovers his ability to do this.
So this is kind of a seminal here. You thought it was just a kind of a throwaway, and it turns out you found a seminal issue.
Well, yeah, if you consider Aqualad any kind of a major character.
Dude, anybody that communicate telepathically with Loch Ness Monster is important in the DC Universe. That's all I can say, because, you know, we're going to bring him back later.
I don't think they ever brought back the Loch Ness Monster, actually.
You know what?
We shouldn't even be giving them ideas. And look how stupid. Look at him. Look at the monster. Looks like a giant turtle. I can't take that monster seriously. And, you know, neither is Aqualad. He's like, that's it, large and slimy. Wait a minute. Now, we were joking before about Aquaman and his lust for the sea creatures. In this comic, Aqualad actually says to the Loch Ness Monster, pull some more of your gorgeous curves inside this old joint. Unless you think Loch Ness Monster is a female. Attaboy!
Oh.
And then he says, hope he's friendly.
Right. Well, he's just going
to... And look, wait. Look at Aqualad here, chained up to this wall. And look at where Loch Ness Monster is slowly starting to, like, edge towards.
That's not... the worst of it. On the third panel, you actually see him say out loud, gulp, gulp, gulp.
Oh, that's good.
Hold it, boy. That's far enough.
No, it's worse. Hold it, big boy. That's far enough.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Okay. This,
and then in a,
suddenly I like this comic because this is just wrong.
In a tumult, in an explosion. And a fluidic explosion.
Yeah, you see this giant tower explode with all this liquid.
And that is the...
And look how satisfied the Loch Ness Monster looks here. I mean, we're not even making this up. Oh, man. Okay.
Now I know why it was a seminal event.
I hate wordplay. Okay.
I'll get Stonehenge for some reason, for no apparent reason.
Yeah, because, you know, the writer, he's hitting all the things he knows about Europe. He's like, okay, I have the Loch Ness Monster, you know, I did the Tower of London, let's have a scene at Stonehenge.
Maybe they could go back in time and look at France surrendering.
Well, that's what France does best.
Oh, is she moving around the rocks? Here's the Stonehenge, which has been around for 2,500 years. She's moving the rocks around like it doesn't matter to history.
Yeah, shame on her.
What's up with that?
And it appears she's, like, lifting one of the Stonehenge rocks for like, no reason.
She's got no respect for anything. Amazon bitches.
Oh, there you go. Oh, the scepter was under it.
Ah, well, very important that she get the scepter.
Okay, well, this is good here, since, you know, she's losing her powers because of the rigged costume. And here she is looking exhausted with the cartoon sweat beads flying off of her.
And she's absolutely blushed.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, this would be the time you would take advantage of Wonder Girl here, where she's pretty vulnerable.
She's hot here. Isn't it nice? Good for...
Nick Carty is the artist here.
All right.
Ooh. Yeah, he's good. And
I like it. She's being kind of, smashing. All the guys are, like, laughing at her, all the henchmen.
Well, these are the, because of course it's Stonehenge, there just happened to be druids there.
Yeah.
Because, sure, why not?
Sure.
And I like smashing, top drawer, simply fab. So then, of course, they have to worship her.
Right, she's our queen.
A goddess from the ancient days, come to eat our rice.
She's our queen, does she not grasp the scepter?
Uh-huh. And of course, they just like, you know, she's exhausted, so they're like all crowding around her. So she gets knocked over. The Mad Mod shows up. And he, like, zaps her with something here. He's got thimbles on his fingers. Hey, wait, suddenly the thimble talk makes sense.
Right, well,
he is a tailor. Of course he would have thimbles.
Right.
But, like, these thimbles, like, shoot out some kind of energy. What drugs were... You know, I just heard myself say that out loud. We're not making any of this up, by the way. This is a real comic book. And, so he zaps her with the, with the thimble rays and takes the scepter and drives off in his little minivan here. And the Teen Titans get back together. And by the way, we haven't seen Robin since they locked him up in the Tower of London.
Well, I assume he's still locked up.
Well, wow, Robin sucks. All the Wonder Girl and Kid Flash and Aqualad were all able to, like, get out of whatever they were put in and escape. And Robin is still playing around.
Well, there just doesn't happen to be any gay Loch Ness monsters to let Robin out, that's all.
So, okay, so you, because I know you want to, Batman's gay. You're admitting that Robin is clearly gay.
No, I told you, that has yet to be decided, and I was hoping that Wonder Girl would help us out with her magic lasso.
Yeah, but she doesn't have a magic lasso yet. And, okay, you know, the Mad Mod makes his secret hideout really easy to find because he's got a poster here on a telephone pole advertising where his secret hideout is. Okay. Whatever makes this comic move along work quickly, I'm all for. Hey, check it out. It's an ad for Angel and the Ape. What were the odds?
How about that?
Yeah. We like reviewed that already. Huh. Okay, and they're so slow that here we are on page 16 and it's taken them this long to realize that their costumes are rigged to, like, make their powers not work. Oh, here's another one. Aqualad. Stammering starfish. Starfish don't even make noise. They're starfish. How can they stammer?
Well,
I'm a starfish.
Well, they make a little waka waka sound when they crawl across the sand.
Well, it would be funny if they did, actually. Okay, here it looks like the Mad Mod's henchmen are dropping some dude off a cliff conveniently into the water, so of course Aqualad can save him. And, okay, this is actually fairly funny. Aqualad exclaims, and this is happening on panel as he's exclaiming it, "Killer whale! Making a light lunch of him! No!" Making a light lunch of him? If you're watching a whale eat somebody, are you actually going to take the time to say that he's making a light lunch of him?
Oh, by the way, this is definitely death, because you see, unless the killer whale just doesn't clamp down, the killer whale's about to chop him in half. So...
I would say it's more of a... It's not even an appetizer. I would say a human being would constitute dinner to a killer whale.
I would too. No.
Because... Well, we already established that humans are the Elvis of snack food. So, of course, the killer whale would want to eat a human.
Sure. So what's going on here?
Kid Flash and Wonder Girl have discovered the Mad Mod's headquarters because, of course, he advertised the location of it, apparently. And, for God's sake, he has a mod ship.
Of course he has a mod ship.
Well, he's the Mad Mod, but that's really bad. And he was trying to get away in the mod ship, and finally, Wonder Girl remembers, wait a minute, I have superpowers, and this is just some dude. So she goes to beat him up, and, okay, see, this is what irks me. Because, again, the Mad Mod has no powers.
He throws a rock
at her. Womp. Yeah, well, womp is a pretty good sound effect, but still. I also like thwack when she hits him in the face. Yeah. Yeah, he...
Well, I think she's faking it.
What?
She says she tumbled for it.
I don't think Wonder Woman would fake it. I think if she was with Dick Grayson, first of all, I think Dick Grayson would satisfy her, and she wouldn't have to fake it. But I think Wonder Girl is honest enough that, like, you know, even if he couldn't come through, that, you know, she wouldn't fake it.
I don't know about faking it. I just was just trying to figure out whether she would actually do that or not.
Here, the dude that the killer whale has in his teeth here turns out to be a dummy with the scepter inside. You know what, this is pretty much the exact point where you know the writer is just making shit up as he's going along. Wow, yeah. Yeah, I got nothing here. This is pretty good, though.
Seaweed pepper pods, since you couldn't talk to killer whale directly.
Yeah, he stuffed them in the fierce mammal's breathing hole.
Yeah, see, it's all about the hole.
It's all about, yes.
All about stuffing the hole.
It is. And notice that Aqualad just felt compelled to stuff something in that hole.
In the whale hole.
Hmm.
Funny, you talked about that earlier, too.
Now here, this was good. I like this. The Mad Mod is trapped in like an underwater cave and the water is rising. It's cheap drama, but it's good drama. And actually, look here, like he's actually terrified
and you buy it.
And notice that like Cardi drew him with really bad teeth, like his name is Austin Powers. Because of course, all British people have bad teeth, apparently.
Slow cars and bad teeth.
Well, Aqualad saves him here. And Wonder Girl and Kid Flash beat up the Mad Mod's minions. And here, you know, they give the scepter back to the queen. And actually, you know, this is... Why should they respect the monarchy? Seriously. I mean, the royal family. Ultimately, they're fucking welfare recipients. They don't do anything. And seriously, why should they be, like, bowing before the queen? At least they're not kneeling. Like, that would really piss me off. But seriously.
What's funny is that... They go hang out with the queen still with no Robin. I wasn't so upset about the queen deal. It was that there was no Robin this whole time.
Here's the thing. In the last panel here on this page, they didn't know he was trapped in the Tower of London. And here Robin is bitching that he was locked there all that time. And I just want to say Robin's so incompetent. He himself admits he was locked in the tower for almost 24 hours. Some escape artist he is. Because, you know, Batman wouldn't have... been in there 24 seconds before escaping.
What is the Tower of London? But some team that they go and they talk to the queen and they, you know, hang out with the queen.
And you know they already said they have the wrist radios. They could have tried to contact Robin at any time.
Sure.
And he's supposed to be the leader. This makes no sense.
Well, this is your comic.
Well, oh no, this is your universe.
Oh, she's flirting with Aqualad here.
Yeah, you would think that she wouldn't be into Aqualad because he's always in the water and there's the shrinkage issue, but... It's pretty obvious, like, she's giving Aqualad the eye. And I did like this because Robin's all pissed off that, as far as he knows, they were off having fun while he was locked up. And he actually...
I thought he was in the Tower of London. Now it says the Darkest Dungeon.
Well, you could argue that the tower constitutes a kind of dungeon.
I'm sorry, you just forgot what he said a panel ago. Something made me weak as Dick Whittington's cat.
Yeah. Well, he didn't know his costume was rigged. But here's the thing. He doesn't have powers. Why would it weaken him at all? He's got no powers to be weakened.
Well, he's a weakened human. So he couldn't even get out of bed.
Mm. And here he is. Thought I'd never get out. ... It was no picnic. ... This is actually good. And it just goes on.
Well, he's all frustrated.
This is almost a cartoon here. I actually kind of like that Robin is just, you know, being a,
so we're assuming
behaving
that,
like this.
We're assuming that he not only figured out how to get out, even though he was weak, he also changed his costume.
Yeah. And here this is cute, where Wonder Girl again is giving Aqualad the eye. And she's like, well, boys, no use in telling him. He'd never believe it. And that's the comic. I mean, okay, it's a cute ending. But this comic really sucked. I give it a 3. I give it a 3 because I enjoyed a lot of the really corny wordplay and the way some of the characters, like the Mad Mod, spoke. And a lot of that humor had to be unintentional. But yeah, 3 out of 10. 3 out of 10.
Okay, for the first time, I'm actually going to be darker than you. I'm going to give this a 1.5 out of 10.
Oh my god!
I really
you didn't like the suffer and shad or whatever the hell they were saying all through this.
No, I really couldn't stand any of it. I mean, there wasn't any redeeming. The only thing that possibly made it redeeming for me is my infantile fantasy of Wonder Girl tying up Robin, and that's what got me through it. Every panel, I was like, "Hey, where's the kinky sex?" That was the only thing that got me through this.
Well, see, you were spoiled by the Wonder Woman comic where, like, the Amazons were wrestling with each other and shit.
Oh.
Now, see, now you expect that every time you see an Amazon.
I also remember that to prep for this podcast, I reviewed a lot of 70s comics where Wonder Woman, the older Wonder Woman, is constantly being tied up and manipulated.
Well, she loses her powers when she's tied up.
And I'm hoping that we can, perhaps in the future, maybe sometime soon, review something that has a little bit more, say, grit.
Well, I don't think there's ever been like a mature readers only Wonder Woman comic yet, although there should be.
Well, if I could take a 1.5-star piece of shit like this.
Hey, do you want to lower it? Because look, here's the letters page, and they're still at it with the wordplay because it's Tell It to the Titans.
In 2 T's.
So you want to lower it to 1? Given the bad letter
no, title? No, it's obviously going to leave it at 1.5 and tell you that it's terrible. And just reinforces my negative opinion of Teen Titans, which makes my point that I made previously in another podcast, that releasing bad comics on time is worse than being late with good comics. And I'm sticking to that.
I never agree with that. Because late comics piss me the fuck off.
Well, you know, you can take
it. Hey, check it out here on the letters page.
That's good, because you've got plenty of on-time comics that are useful in the fireplace.
Check this out. The guy is, like, talking about the Titans, and the editor or whoever says, "We're not fond of letters that just say we're fab or groovy." Oh. Fab and groovy. Yeah, it's funny now.
Can we go back to that Army advertisement for the kamikaze plane?
No, no, no. We're actually going to go into the future, into, I think, the other comic is like maybe only a few years old. So we're going to go forward.
And this is Trenchcoat Mafia signing out.
Sunset.